We're back teaching our series again on the last 7 days. And the last 7 days really is a representation of the time period that we're talking about that was a fulfillment, really, of a prophecy that was given in September 2nd, 1952. Not a prophecy, it was a vision by Kenneth Hagin, where the Lord spoke about the end times. And what he did is the fulfillment, he spoke concerning the last 7 days of Noah. He said, really, it was a representation, these last days, for that time period till Jesus comes, especially for taking the church. Kenneth Hagin's ministry was that he was told that his ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. So this is really an important thing. It's one of the things, the preparation for the church. Now, I'm going to read part of this, and I'm not going to read the whole thing that we had read before, because right now we're looking at a section of prophecy of the fulfillment of this. We want to know if this prophecy is really in line with the Word of God. Can we see that the things that Jesus was saying here, can we match this up to the Word? We need to be able to do that. We want to walk by faith. And God always, you know, if God spoke about the future, and there's one thing as I've found out about the future, no matter whether you look into the Bible, as the Scripture tells us that God reveals the end from the beginning, and you can go back to the book of beginnings. That's what the book of Genesis is, the book of beginnings. You go back to the beginning of it, and you'll see things that speak to the end. The pattern that God operates in the earth is never changes. It's never changed through history. It always operates in the same way. The things that He did in the beginning, He does at the end. So you can see things through on this, and this is what I really like. See, to me, it's very easy because it's simple. I don't know. See, I got to have simple. Maybe some people like really, people say, I want some deep things. Well, you know, I want some pretty shallow stuff that I can understand. That's what I want. Because I found out lots of times the shallow things that you can really understand good, that really bless you and help you, they're too deep for the average person. They can't get it. I want those things that you can understand easily. And we want to have this. When the Lord spoke the things concerning Noah and Noah's day, that we're in that time period. In other words, it has to do about the preparation of the church. If we look at the things with Noah, if Noah, his last week was in the ark, so Noah's last week, and if we're following into the seven-day period, it means that this last-day period that we're in, it's about getting yourself ready for the return of Christ. It's getting yourself in the ark. If a person says they're a Christian, they better be in the ark. Because I will tell you, there's many Christians who at one time accepted Jesus will not be ready to go because they're not in the ark. They're still living, they're living like the world. They're following the world, they're following the things of the world. And so we need to understand, this is about preparation to leave. That's what God's preparing us for that. The last day move of God is about getting people to leave. This last move of God is going to be anything like any other move of God from this standpoint. It ain't going to be a time period where you go for years and years on end and people just sort of walk. This is going to be when the move is over, everybody's gone. It's the end of the church age. This has never taken place before. This has never happened before. And it's about getting ready for this to happen. We're not staying. My preparations are not to stay here. I'm not getting ready. I don't have a future on the earth. I don't have a future. I have a future, but it's not here. It's not here. See, I'm getting ready. I'm in the boat. See, Noah's future was based on being in the ark. And see, everybody else was outside saying, this man's crazy. Oh, yeah. And today, we read last week, what if people are going to be scoffing? Oh, yeah. They said this was going to happen. Hey, Noah for 120 years preached rain. They had never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. Never took place on the face of the earth. He said, going to rain, going to flood the whole earth. He said, you're going to need a boat to be saved. And they're all ho, 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 funny, 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 till everybody on the face of the earth except Noah and his family died. People don't realize this. When the church leave, earth is going to be a horror. The majority, till Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, the majority of the people on the earth are going to die through plagues. It's going to be a horrible time. Horrible, terrible time. Because it's going to be a time of judgment. Judgment falling. It ain't going to be pretty. Any of those who won't follow the Antichrist are going to be put to death. There's not going to be, it ain't going to be a fun time being here. People better understand that and get it. Hey, I'm on the boat. I'm on the boat. I'm leaving. And you know, it isn't worth playing all these games and stuff with people. I tell you, I'm not looking for another life. I'm looking to leave. And hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we want to do. One of the things we want to find out about is what happens in this end times. And we're talking about this. I want to read part of this to you that Jesus said what's going to happen to his people in these last days. And to me, this is not a pretty thing. This is a bad part because it says Jesus, in this vision, Jesus said, I'm going to read this part because this is what we were dealing with. He said, Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days which are just ahead. He said, for it's time for the gift of the working of miracles to be in more in prominence. He said, we now have entered into the era of the miraculous. Now here's what he goes to say. Many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many. Now listen, he's saying many. He's not saying some of his people. He said many. Many of his people. This is astounding. And we're going to find that other things in Scripture talk about this. But it's things that I've seen over the years that people try to change translations of the Bible to make it say what they want to. Because we haven't generally, the church hasn't liked this message. They haven't liked this idea that many Christians ain't going to be ready. And see, this is warning stuff to us. It's warning because we're going to find out these same warnings went out back in the apostles' days. They were giving these warnings. And so these warnings aren't new. They're nothing that's new. So he says here, he goes on, many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit, will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets, miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God and the spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. I'm gathering my own together and preparing them for the time short. So this is really where we're looking at right now. So as we're going through this in this teaching, we want to look at some things of Scripture. We talked about some things last week on these areas about people bringing different things that were said. We had talked the week before. Again, we looked at some things concerning Noah, what were said in Scriptures, things that Jesus said, which were in line with the vision that God gave him. And we begin to look at some of the things. One of the things we look at, Paul's writings to Timothy, telling him about the perilous times. In other words, how people were going to be conducting themselves in these times. And this is really huge important because when you're living in a world and people, it's just, there's a really good picture. If we would take in the apostles' days back, especially like, you know, we look at Paul. Paul went to the Gentile nations and preached. And if you see what really is sort of the Roman Empire is comparable in the Bible to this last day Antichrist Empire, which is a type like the Roman Empire, like we see, and really in Europe's going to be involved in it because Europe right now with the European Union, they're running into all these things. The churches in Europe, like before with the Protestant and Catholics, now in Europe are all starting to pull together now. They're doing the one world church thing. They're getting, all of them are getting together. They're open to everybody and everything. I mean, they're open to the fact, they've opened the fact that they want the Muslims and everything to join in. Everybody to get on the same boat. See, we all going to worship God together. We're all going to do, that's what they're doing. That's the things that are going on. We have here in the United States. We have spirit-filled groups in the United States are joining in the same junk. Going into the same things. And all these things, this is part of this moving into this area. People, really, we're going to find that there's a lot of deception going on. People yielding to things and things that are turning out not good. But this perilous times, some of the translations said dangerous times. We look at the dangerous times, people look back and say all these bad things going on. But remember, these things were written to the church. What is the danger to the church? Is it wars and rumors of wars? Is that our danger? No, our danger is deception. And Christians are getting deceived today, left and right. Christians are getting involved into the world. You know, it's just like if you take the things that have gone on with the in 2020 a lot of the church in 2020, I was just astonished how different people within the Spirit-filled church acted over different things. I mean, definitely didn't walk in love, got over in false prophets like crazy. All this stuff started, man, just going like crazy. Election comes up. I mean, ministers, I mean, preachers, Spirit-filled preachers, you know, wanted to go to war, get their guns out. I mean, I was shocked. I couldn't believe what I was hearing from ministers and stuff going on. They want to, you know, they think God called them here to do a physical battle. Yeah, good luck with that one. And you have all those things going on is people don't realize deception. They're being deceived. You can't walk over the natural. These things we are warned that are going on, but these are the things we're supposed to stay away from, not the things we join to. And so they have all those things that are happening and going on. We found out that Paul's writing to Timothy. He told them about what was going to happen, that people weren't going to like sound teaching. They were going to draw teachers to themselves. They're going to have people teaching what they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. We have a lot of that today. The churches are made up. I mean, is churches out here, they start churches, they send things out to people, even to the sinners, asking them what kind of things they would like their church to have. And so then they give it to them, whatever they want. So the church, the people are dictating the ministry. That's never any good. You know, there is no need for a minister if they're a dictator. If they're a dictator, let them run it. I mean, my words. If you can pick what you want, and this I've had over the years, and I've watched this among people, it's the most confusing thing to me. I've had thousands of Christians say to me over the years, well, this is the way I believe it. Does it really matter how I believe it? What does God say? People aren't interested anymore in what God says about it. They have their beliefs, and they think. How they ever got to this place, I don't know, but they got to the place to thinking that just because they think a certain way, that God's going to do it that way for them. It's going to be shocking for them to find out when Jesus comes. And, well, you know, it's like Paul said to the church of Galatia. He told them, you preach another gospel, you're preaching another Christ. You have a different way of believing. And today, much of the church has a Jesus. They say, we believe in Jesus. But they don't believe the Jesus of the Bible. They have a Jesus that they made up. And a man that they look at. That is, and I am just floored about some of the things that I have heard ministers say that talk about, oh yeah, you need to accept Jesus and all that stuff. And in things that they say, I hear, oh my God, where are these people coming from? They have this certain lingo that they have that sounds good. But they have the basis of their beliefs are way off base. And so people believing all kinds of things. Now Paul wrote Timothy again. And it's interesting because Paul's writing to Timothy, who is a young minister, because if you can't keep the minister straight, it's going to be hard to keep people straight. It's going to be hard to keep people straight if you can't keep the minister straight. And I want to tell you what, folks, that's a hard job, keeping the minister straight. That's a tough thing to do. And so anyhow, but Paul wrote in the fourth chapter of fourth chapter, first Timothy, he said that starting at the first verse, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter days, some will depart from the faith. Now listen to this. Some will depart from the faith. Now, I've actually heard people say this. Well, he's not talking about Christians. Well, he has to be talking about Christians because you can't depart for something you ain't in. you know, I'm serious. I've heard ministers try to convince me that. And I just look at him and I think, you know what? I'm not very bright. I'm not a genius. I just tell him out straight. You might be a lot smarter than me. But I do know meanings of words, and I can look at a dictionary and figure out what they say. Yeah, I can do that. And he says, people are going to leave the faith. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Since I got born again, me and a lot of people have left the faith. Oh, they swear they're Christians. But they have left the faith a long time ago. They're not following the faith of the Bible. They have their own ideas. He said, well, part of the thing, why get this and this? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. See, now if you said to people, you know, they're listening to doctrines of devils, they don't realize that the fact that people, oh, you know, you're talking bad about me. Anything that ain't in line with the Word, where do you think it comes from? anything that leads to deception, to deceive you concerning the Word and move you away from faith in God. The only kind of faith in God there is faith in the Word of God. And if what I'm believing is not in line with the Word of God, then it is unbelief. And it's outside of faith. When we talk as Christians, when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in what the Bible says. We're not talking about my beliefs or your beliefs. If your beliefs are not in line with the Bible, it is not faith. It is called, the Bible calls it unbelief. Christian faith is based on one thing, the Word of God. That's it. There's no other thing. Don't matter what you believe about it. It's what the Bible says about it is what you must believe. That's what you have to be in line with. So we find that we're given a warning. Paul warns them, especially he said in the latter times. You think we're living in the latter times? Yeah, I think we're here. He said, why? What are they going to do? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This is an important saying here, their conscience is seared. See, we'll talk about these things. We're going to be teaching on some of those probably on Sunday. We're going to talk about conscience because this is a hugely important thing. About your conscience. This is where deception runs so wide, runs so strong. Because people get deceived and they no longer follow their conscience. If you cannot follow God and not follow your conscience. Impossible. You can't do it. Your conscience is not a devil sitting on this shore. It's like the cartoons. A devil sitting over here and an angel sitting here in the battle. That's not what's going on. Your conscience is the voice of your own human spirit. That's your conscience. It's not the devil and it's not God. It's your own human spirit. When you do things, when you do stuff that is outside of your conscience bothers you for it and you do it anyway, you get that sense that, you know, I shouldn't do that, but you do it anyhow. When you do that, that's sin. Anytime you go past your conscience, you sin. I don't care what somebody else is doing. People come, well, is it okay for me to do this because these other people do it? I tell them you can't do it because you don't even have the clearing in you to do it. Your own conscience is telling you right now you shouldn't be doing that. Your own conscience. Until your conscience is clear on it. Now you can get your conscience clear. You know how you do that? Keep disobeying your conscience and after a while you will sear your conscience and it will no longer, you won't hear it anymore. And you can go ahead and sin without it ever bothering you. Oh yeah, people do that. Loads of people today, loads of people. A person who departs from the faith, that's what they exactly what happens to them. They no longer hear their own conscience. So they sin, not being bothered by it at all. They can do any kind of sin, and I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm good. It don't bother them. You know, like a lot of people do a lot of things. You know, it's number one, I want to keep a tender conscience. And a tender conscience, it's huge, it's important to have. The Lord keeps reminding this. And I just want to say, you know, we have right now, you know, they're doing the things with changing, you know, now about wearing masks and doing stuff. But and they'll have on stores, you know, now that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask and all that stuff. But you know what? I can't get past that sign because I have to wear my mask. I can't lie about it. That bothers my conscience. And if it don't bother your conscience, you got a problem. You see, this is about authority. I want you to understand this. This is why authority don't work for Christians. Because Christians, a store has every right under their authority to ask what they want for the person going in there. It's not your place. And when you disobey that authority, you're affecting your own conscience. People need to understand this. See, Christians have gotten over where they just bypass things and think nothing of it. And don't realize, the Bible talks about being faithful in the little things, being made ruler. People will never, people who can't handle this mass thing will never handle anything big with God. This is good preaching, folks. It isn't a matter of what my belief is. I must follow conscience. I must follow conscience. And my conscience bothers me because When somebody, see, there's a part about doing what's right, obeying authorities. We don't obey authorities just because we like them. Because you know what? Your children, nobody has to obey you, because if you only obey because of what you like, if they don't like you, they don't have to obey you either. That's what you want. See, we have this pick and choose junk. And we don't. This isn't about whatever out here is right and wrong. This is about my obedience. And number two, it's about this. Keeping the devil off of me. When I'm in disobedience, he has access to me. Mm-hmm. Disobedience gives Satan. If I rebel against authority, I can't turn around and try to use authority to make Satan do what I want. I'm the one that started this thing. Rebellion. Now, I know people don't like to hear this. See, because here in the United States, we have got, the church is way off base. We have left these principles of conscience. You know, I know this. I could walk into places and not wear a mask and nobody ever say a thing, anything like that. But you know what? My conscience won't let me do it. My conscience won't allow me to. I'm going to obey my conscience. You know why? You don't obey your conscience, your prayers ain't getting answered either. Don't bother praying. Just get down to the bar and have a drink and have as much fun as you can right now. Because you're going to need it. It doesn't matter. See, all this. These are a lot of things that we bypass. This sounds like strange, hard teaching. This is the norm. This is normal Christianity I'm talking about here. This is normal Christianity that's not taught anymore. You know, we're teaching how to get money and how, you know, believe God did this and we're going to all turn into millionaires and, you know, and that stuff. But anything of importance, the church knows almost nothing about. And see, we need to understand these things, these conscience. He talked here about, he said, the last days, seared consciences. Man, I don't want to do that. You always want to keep your conscience tender toward God. You want to stay sensitive. Most of the time that you're going to pick something up in your spirit, it's going to be from your own spirit. You're going to hear what is called the still small voice. It's your own spirit speaking to you, your own spirit. And when you can't hear that, you're going to have problems, major problems. That's why is learning to be tender toward that. Tender towards your own conscience. You always want to. I would rather yield to the side and be wrong than try to go over onto the side. This liberal idea, well, God will forgive me. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just keep doing it. See what happens. You can't set yourself to rebel in sin and get forgiveness. Read 1 John 1, the first chapter. You can't just, if you're not going to turn from it, you can sit and say, God, forgive me, all you want. Forgiveness is based on turning from it, not saying, God, forgive me. And see, there's things that we need to understand in these areas. Also, he goes on to say about this, because things happen. He said, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Forbidding in marriage. See, one of the things that we see, like from their time, we saw really from the church world went over, and when the church in Rome started up, they started this thing of the priesthood. They brought the priesthood back again. It's really strange because the original priesthood, they could be married anyhow. But they started this thing of not the priesthood not being married, all these things that come along. Over the years, I've watched all kind of things happen and go on. Groups get really ridiculous. There was a group here in the United States that came out of the 1950s healing revivals, and they started the things about you're going to be more spiritual if you don't get married. They're going to be more spiritual. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to run out of Christians of what they do. And so they started this community, and they have this communion. Nobody could get married. And now there's like three or four of them left. That's it. You know, it's like, you'd think somebody would have awakened and figured out this thing ain't going to work. You know? Stupid people always, you know, they get deceived. What? Now, the whole thing of what is said about this is because I believe these people want to do right, but their deception puts them in a little group that messes it all up and nobody follows along, and they become a thing that's looked at as just a bunch of nuts. And they are. So what they tried is to do right, to be spiritual, is a deception that led off to something weird, something not good. And so we don't want to get, like with food-wise. I mean, food-wise today is a big thing. You know, there's a lot of groups in Christianity, you know, that, you know, there's churches that they'll just teach diet. I mean, there's all kind of that stuff going on. You know, they're telling you what you need to eat, not eat, and that stuff. I've been around Christians like that already. And, you know, I've been around ones and that stuff of don't eat this, or, you know, you go into a restaurant, sits down, and another minister, he's sitting there, you order your food. Well, I don't eat that kind of stuff. I eat these things. And so I'll order a double portion. I just, you know, it's like, you know, they're that stupid. They think because I don't eat this or I don't eat that. It got over things. I know groups of ones got in this thing of eating like under the law. You can't eat certain things. You're not supposed to eat them and all that kind of stuff. And they got into those kinds of things. And see, we have it. Just that people think they're going to become spiritual through these things. Now, we're told, what are these? These things are deceptions. The Bible clearly tells us it's a deception, yet they practice it. And the Bible's clear. That's why they don't follow. We have the verses in the Bible that we like. We have the things that we do, but we don't read it. Right now, the Spirit-filled people ignore a lot of Scripture because it don't fit our doctrines that we teach. You know, we're so over on the, we are so lopsided on the faith side. We know nothing over here on the side of sanctification and walking right, doing this. We know nothing in that area. I mean, we have about this much knowledge over there. We have all this faith side over here. But I'm going to tell you what, without sanctification, it just falls. That's what happens to it. You have to have, it takes the whole thing to make this work. You want the whole thing. Because you'll be blessed doing the whole thing. So there's a lot of things he tells us concerning food. And that's why he's dealing in the areas of food. I'm not a food preacher. I don't preach food, you know. You follow eating, you know, God tells you something, you go ahead, it's not your job, tell everybody else to do it. It's like the Lord spoke to me some years ago. We got back over in a thing about, you know, because people were saying, talking about diet, and they were got all this, and really so much of it was going out. And I used to do a lot of running, and you can tell I run to the table now more than I do anything. Anyhow, I used to do a lot, but anyhow, we had a lot of running, and I would just go out and run. So I would get a lot of answers while I'd be out running. I would ask God things. And when I was out running, because the Lord had taught me how to turn off not listening to my body when I ran. And I could get myself focused where I could run sometimes for miles and miles, and I would never even remember running it. I wouldn't even remember going. I'd get myself over-focused, and I would meditate on Scriptures. And sometimes I got things of revelation, but I had begun to ask the Lord. Because these people, I said, Lord, these people, different people come out. They write books. God gave me this, you know, certain kind of diet. And then another guy writes a book, and another woman writes a book. And I said, don't make any sense. You're giving all these people these diets. You're giving all these people, well, if it was this good diet, it seemed to be one book and work, wouldn't it? So they have all these different, and I asked the Lord, why or what is going on with all this book? And I had asked about it. He never spoke to me. And I'm out running one day, and all of a sudden, you know, it's always funny because he would give me answers when I never expected it. And I'm running down the road, and just as clear, it rose up inside of me and said, heaven doesn't have any diets. And to me, it almost floored me because you're running along, and he said, heaven doesn't have any diets. He said, heaven only has one thing. Moderation in all things. And I thought, gee, that's scripturally accurate. Moderation in all things. Oh, ha! You see, and this is one of the things, and I want to know what's God saying about things. Because why people get over in their extremes of things, because we push a lot of diet stuff today, and a lot of these things about people have the right, don't eat this, don't do that, this is bad. Why, the doctor said. Well, the doctor's God, you know that. He's God, and he said. And so you know what? The doctor dies. You know something strange? Doctors, out of longevity of life, don't live as long as their patients do. Do you know that? And they keep telling us what we need to do. You'd think they'd be living the longest, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you think so if they had all this genius? Don't eat, don't touch. We need to understand, we need to be careful in this, because we get in unbelief, we begin to confess their things. And we say all the time, people say, this isn't good for you, and they eat it. You need to understand this. You cannot, by faith, eat anything you say is wrong for you to eat. And it is not good for you to eat because you said it's not. And you're going to have, Jesus said you're going to have what you said. Jesus said that. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. And when you said it wasn't good, it isn't good for you, you're in sin whether you like it or not. No different than the guy out here you thought did some really bad thing. You're in sin. It is a sin to go against what you say. You can't say, that's wrong for me to do it and go do it. That's why we need to learn to guard our mouths. We're living in very deceptive times. We have picked up the same lingo the world runs with. And we have it in what we call faith people. And there's no faith at all. Running around saying things. The Bible tries to give us a freedom in this area that we won't take. It says here that what we're supposed to, he said, abstain from foods, he said, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth. Well, I can say this truthfully. 90% of Christians don't know the truth. 90% of Christians are running around saying all kinds of things. God said everything he created is good. People are saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. You know, beef's bad for you. It's chicken and fish. God was wrong. When God told Noah when he got off the boat, he said to eat the meat, it was good for you. That was a lie. God lied. I can prove it by the doctors because people will follow the doctor before they will God. You cannot sanctify what you said is wrong to do. It is not set apart for your body. It is not set apart for your body. You have condemned it. This is good preaching, folks. We'll spend as much time over here, but God's spending time here. Things that people need to know. Listen to this. He says about food. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Eating food without setting it apart through sanctification by prayer and the word of God, your food is not set apart. You have no better chance of what happens to you than the world does. The Bible tells us what we do to sin. What makes food sanctified for us? The Bible tells us what that is. It deals with the areas of thanksgiving, and we sanctify it by the word of God in prayer. Praying over our food is not a religious act. It's an act of sanctification and health to us. And people who don't do it don't have sanctification. They have the same things happen to them that happens to the world. If they sit down and eat, that's why the Bible dealing with things, said we eat, drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't harm us. You don't go to try to drink something deadly. But it's about sanctification, folks. That's why we pray. We sanctify with the word of God and with prayer and with thanksgiving. That's what we do to sanctify our food. See, lots of times, really, people don't. We just, you know, most people, what they do, they just pray a thanksgiving. But it doesn't say just do that.
That's right.
It's not just thanksgiving. I always thank God for the food, and I say, I bless my bread. God blesses my bread and water, and He takes sickness away from me. By the Word of God in prayer. By the Word of God in prayer. We don't confess the Word over our food. We just have nice little religious prayers that are said. Folks, these things are hugely important. We're talking about following the Bible. This is the Bible. This is following Scripture. Why? This has to do with our own health, the blessing of our life. But religion has its own ideas, and people have their own ideas and things. Getting over here, especially doing this right. Now listen to what he says. Now this is Paul writing to Timothy about this. He said, for if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. Not to a lot of people. No, they like to read. He said, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. See, the church is supposed to be preaching this stuff, and they don't. We preach all kinds of things we think are important. Christians do all kinds of stuff they think is important. And the little things in life, they let the devil kill us. Wonder why things happen. What is it, you know, how does it go wrong? What happens? People don't understand. I am just sort of shocked. I know from just going on the mission field and talking to other ministers. I don't know how many minister friends, people over the years have talked to me. I mean, how many of them almost died going on the mission field, catching stuff and getting stuff? I mean, these are supposed to be so-called faith people. But you know what? You get around, hang around, and talk to them. You learn after a while. They don't know nothing about sanctifying their food. They don't know. They talk about, I have this confession. I'm believing God. No, it says when you eat what you're supposed to do. And see, most Christians don't like to pray and have people see them, especially going to a restaurant. People think that I'm weird. I'm weird. Amen, I'm weird. I'm the weird guy, man. And I'm leaving here healthy. I ain't going home and getting diarrhea. I'll just tell you that right now. Uh-uh. Oh, no. No. Are you going to join the rest of them? Hey, folks. If people do the same junk, and that's what they get. Say, man, it was something I ate. I'm sorry. Everything I ate was sanctified. Hallelujah. Hey, it's good preaching, folks. They got down where the rubber meets the road. See, if people don't realize, they don't do this, they don't think it's any of this stuff is that important. You know, you can go in the nicest restaurant. You don't know what's going on in that kitchen. You better have faith in God. One thing is, I learned this a long time ago. Going to the doctor's office in the hospital, you better have faith because they'll kill you quick. Amen. They're killing about 400,000 people a year by their own studies. In hospitals in America, people going in dying of what they didn't go in for. We need to understand this stuff. No, not Christians. Today. They're just like the world. They go to wonder, well, you know, whatever's going to happen. Hold. You don't do that. Amen. Man, you go by faith. You go to the hospital, you go with Jesus. You go in trusting the Lord. Because no telling what's going to happen or what's going to go on. But hallelujah, you want to learn to walk by faith. You need to be able to do that. Hallelujah. God wants you blessed. And so we need to understand these are sound doctrine things that we need to begin to teach and begin to walk in more. You know, and I'm going to just read here in 1 John because we're dealing these end times and we're into these kinds of things. It's like, I know with ministers, a lot of ministers, they don't think it's any important things that necessarily with praying over food. No big deal, none of this stuff. They think all this stuff doesn't matter. I mean, this stuff in the Word doesn't mean anything. Paul was just blowing off here, I guess, to Timothy, and it really all didn't mean too much. And so we need to understand how important these are. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, we find out here that John wrote, he said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. He said, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. So we see here, he said, many false prophets. 1 John, that's in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. There are many false prophets. There are many. Don't say there's some. He said many. Many false prophets. These are important things that, because we need to understand. Here, John goes on to make this. Now, he's talking about false prophets. Now, he's telling me these false prophets, lots of their effect is in the church. Because remember, he is writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians and he says, by this, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You know that I've been astounded by things that I'm hearing say, because, you know, we have all kinds of people in Christianity say they believe in Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But I've heard some of the most astounding things. You know, said, I was listening to a radio one day to a minister on radio, and he's talking about, you know, you're supposed to believe on Jesus and stuff. And he made this statement. He said, you guys know that Jesus didn't have flesh like we do. His flesh wasn't like ours. He said he didn't have DNA like we do. Well, if he didn't, he's not Savior. You see, this guy talked about believing on Jesus, but he's not believing on the Jesus of the Bible. If Jesus was not a man, but have physical body like us here tonight, then it was impossible him to be Savior of the world. He couldn't die for man. It required a man to die for men. And if he had different kind of flesh. Now we back up. Why was John writing this? John was writing this because in John's day, they had preaching like that going on in his day. If you go back and study in that time period, he was refuting Gnosticism. They didn't believe that Jesus was like we are when he was in the earth. And so he was a spiritual type person. He wasn't a physical type person. I mean, we have today major ministers who are saying, you don't have to. I've heard ministers talk about salvation. You don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be born again. You don't have to believe in it. There's ministers in Lebanon who talk around, tell about, yeah, we want to reach people and all this kind of stuff we need to do. And they're saying these things. They don't believe that the virgin birth. One major minister, his son now has big ministry and that stuff. Guy who's had been around for years, and now his son's here. His son, I've heard him say about it. He doesn't. You don't need to believe in the virgin birth. That he says science has already proved, you know, that creation is not like the Bible says, and all that. And this is what these people are. And yet they talk about believing Jesus. Oh, they have the trapping words around them, but you know what? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's Antichrist in operation. It's the spirit of Antichrist. They're not believing in the Jesus of the Bible. They're not confessing the Jesus of the Bible. That's not what they're confessing. So they're coming along with a new one. So see, those things we're dealing with these last days. Spirit of Antichrist is very strong in the world today. Very strong. And it's very strong in the church world. Very strong in the church world. And people don't recognize it. They don't notice it. We need to pay attention. Now I want us to 2 Corinthians here. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Okay, yeah, I want to read to you. I'm going to sort of just break in verse 12. It's the 11th chapter, and verse 12 says, But what I do, this is Paul speaking, what I do, he said, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. Now here Paul is saying this. Then he goes, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You see, in the church world, they had at that time, Paul's telling them at that time, they have people who are saying that they are apostles, but they are not. They transform themselves in the church world. We have people in the church world today that are very popular that aren't even Christian. But they have learned how to play the Christian game. You know, I saw this back, you know, they got over this thing of all the Christian rock and roll. There are groups who got into making Christian music and weren't even Christian because they found a slot they could make money doing Christian songs and Christians would buy them. And they weren't even Christians. And Christians are running around paying to go to their concerts. They play this whole thing of Jesus stuff and they're not even Jesus. Right now, there's people in popular music who have turned around and come out and say and have said within the last year that they don't even believe in Jesus Christ anymore. They don't believe in none of it. And they are still pumping out music and people still run to their concerts. Why? Because people wouldn't know God if he showed up and wore a red hat and a purple cape and did cartwheels down it. People don't know. People run to anything that somebody says is Christian or God. They just run to it. They don't pay attention to it. I've learned this over the years, you know. Things are going on inside of me is I just get a sense, don't get hooked up with that. I don't care if anybody else does. I don't get hooked up with it. I don't run to this stuff. I don't run. I learned to stay away from things over the year. Listen on the inside. Things to stay away from. Ain't nothing worse than messing around with things that aren't God and you think they are, yielding to things because this is what people don't realize. We don't realize that hanging around wrong things, you can get hooked up in wrong spirit. It isn't just some natural thing or hearing some natural thing wrong. We're talking about picking up spirits. You get yielded to things. And the Apostle Paul is talking about these people here. Now listen what Paul goes on to say. He talks about these ones transform themselves into apostles of Christ. He said, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now he said, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers. You know Satan has ministers? Do you know they're in the church? He's talking about the church. This is not writing to them about something out here in a satanic church. He's warning these people. Listen, ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So this is a warning out here in the church world of people who stand in offices, who say that they're Christians and they're ministers, and yeah, they talk about us, but they're not. And people don't know. I have been around ones already, and I'm going to tell you what, I knew when I first met them, this person got a wrong spirit. And people just run, yeah, they're Christians, they're nice, yeah. Like, oh, man. They're like a little kid running around eating bugs off the floor. Don't notice. Don't notice what the... It don't matter what everybody else does. It don't matter what people say is good or not good. I told you guys the story of the time that I... I wanted to go to a church. God told me, kept, no, don't go here, don't go there, until he finally, where he told me to go. But anyhow, I said, the one Sunday, I decided I was going to go to this church, and I was going to go to this thing. We drove up into the parking lot. When I got in the parking lot, the Lord just spoke to me real clear. He said, if you go in there, he said, you're never going to fulfill my will in your life. You'll never fulfill it. Now see, they think, well, God was mad going in. No, what was going to happen to me, what I was going to cause to happen. Because I found out later on, some years, the minister was as devilish as the day was long, and people followed him like crazy. When I finally found out about what the things this man was involved in and doing, there was nothing Christian about what was going on at all. But he played the fiddle for those people, and they all just followed him and swallowed him. And so you go sit under that kind of stuff, it's going to get on you. That's why you, man, you better learn how to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by look good, look pretty. See, God wasn't trying to get at me. God wasn't mad because if I went in there, what I was going to do if I went in there, what I was going to end up yielding to. And he was one of the devil's ministers for sure. And after they found out all the years what this guy was involved in, and most of them are all just hooked up into it, by that time they just played along. You know, just everybody's in it, up to their ears. And so you want to be very, very careful about those things that people say are good. We need to be very careful of what concerning the things that we follow. But these warnings were given, or these are warnings of Scripture about in the church world the things that happen. Now, we as Christians don't have to live scared of this stuff, but it's warning for what to stay away from, the bad things that can hurt you. There's things out here that can hurt us, and we need to know that. There's deception out here going on that wants to lead you away from the truth. That's going on. That's happening. There are false prophets out here. There are people doing all kinds of stuff, things going on out here. You know, there's people that didn't plan on getting all messed up, but they got all messed up. Following stuff that they should not be following. Yielding to things they should not be yielding to. People not paying any attention to their own conscience. All kind of things. It opens the door to deception. So we need to understand. It's here. You're as a Christian. We're not safe from this just because we're born again. We're not safe from it. And so we know that. But if you realize it's out there and what there is, it's just like in your natural life. You learn to know what is safe for you to do and what is not safe for you to do. In the natural. You know, that's why they finally go on jobs. You know, the safety on a job. Things to do and things not to do so you don't get hurt. They don't tell you those things as safety because they don't want you to do the job. They're telling you so you don't get hurt on the job. Well, it's the same way of Christianity. These things are here. And the church doesn't like to talk about these things because they make people uncomfortable. And we want everybody to feel comfortable because we want everybody to get hurt on the job. The church wants to destroy as many people as they can. It's almost like that. It's almost, we won't talk about these things going on. Well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. I'm going to tell you, people in sin are already judged by the Bible. That's why if we know what's wrong, we're not judging them. They are judged by the Word. You better be judging some things. You better have some sense in your head what you hook up to. Because if you don't, it will all cost us things. I don't want to, you know, I've done dumb in my Christian life already. And I'm not looking to see how much more I can do. I've done about as much as I want. It's like, I don't want to make it a habit of doing any more. And so we have to understand, this is about our protection, to realize what is out there. If we follow the Word of God, Jesus said, we follow the Word, and then the Holy Spirit in Him, we're going to be okay. He told us what to do. Because there's things out here along the way, and there's people getting deceived. You know, if nobody walks right, you can't help anybody get walking right. You don't help people by joining up with them, trying to make them feel comfortable in what they're doing. You don't help them. Best thing you do is you walk right. Let people see what it is to walk right. Let people know. And so we need to, that's why today there needs to be more taught in the areas of sanctification and those areas of things, because those things are not to harm us. They are not legalistic things. They are things that keep you out of trouble. You know, it's just like my parents, you know, they told us different things to keep us out of trouble, and we thought they were old fogies and didn't know until after we got into all the trouble. And then we thought, oh my God, those people knew what they were talking about. See, I thought a lot of years thought my parents were idiots, and then I got old enough to find out they were pretty darn smart. I just, just wish I'd have picked up on it a little sooner. I just waited a little long. I don't know. What's the fast learning some of that stuff? But they were. They didn't do it. They were trying to protect us because, you know, I realized, you know, my parents, they made a lot of mistakes in life, and they didn't want us to making the same mistakes that they made. And they didn't. And they learned right things, and they wanted to give those right things to us. And we need to understand the importance. They weren't trying to limit our life so we couldn't have fun. They wanted us to live long enough to have some fun. And that's what it is. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. He's not abundantly. He's not trying to limit our life. He's not trying to limit our blessing here in this earth. He's not limiting it. He's trying to show us how we can live a life and it'll be a blessing. What we need to avoid. In his day, he dealt with the same thing. He dealt with the traps were around him in the same manner. He said he was tempted just like we are. In other words, the same thing. He had religious people along, had their ideas, and they had following their stuff, trying to pull him off into their things. They had that. The disciples found out when they started off, it's same things all over again. It doesn't stop. It's there. You got to maintain and following the Word of God, and it's not the most popular things that people want. We, you know, people who like in sin and like living in the flesh don't like what we would call restrictions in their life, but they're not restrictions. Because things that keep you safe isn't a restriction. In a restriction, it's not restricting you. And see, we think, well, you know, I have the freedom to do anything I want. But you know, Paul said concerning himself, he said all things, you know, are legal for him to do. But he said all things aren't expedient. In other words, all things aren't good for me to do. They're not good. Boy, America knows nothing about that, and the American church knows nothing about everything's not good to do. See, it's going out here. I have freedom to say anything I want. Please don't. Whatever you don't say, anything you want. Don't do that, because the devil's going to eat your lunch a lot. Don't run around saying, I have the freedom. I have the freedom to do this. I have the freedom. I'm thank God. God's word restricts me, so I'm blessed. It restricts me for blessing, that I don't hurt me. You know, a lot of things the devil don't hurt us. We pulled the trigger. We pulled the trigger. Not the devil. We pulled the trigger. And I know. Is anybody here didn't pull the trigger at any time? I did quite a few times. I think I broke a few triggers. I pulled them more than I should. But We're trying to quit that, aren't we? We're not going to pull the trigger. Let's say we need to be careful in these areas, even though, really, the Word of God, and that's what we want to follow. That's why, you know, I can see the founders of our nation, when they wrote down giving man the opportunity to speak and to have freedom of speech, these people were restricted by the Word of God. Those people had a faith. They didn't think you just said anything you wanted. And see, that's why what John Adams said, you know, when, once people find out that, you know, that they can vote anything they want in, he said democracy's going to go down the tubes. See, democracy's only made for moral people. That's why democracy's not working in America. Even most Christians are immoral. Most Christians live immoral lives. So democracy can't work. Democracy can only work when people are moral and they follow a biblical guideline. Our forefathers, I mean, did if we look at our nation, did they ever think that abortion and things were okay?
No.
Nobody was ever allowed to do it. In fact, you went to jail for it. All of a sudden, the immoral people get in office and say, oh yeah, the Constitution gives us the freedom to do that. Well, it couldn't. If it did, they'd have been doing that before. It didn't. Never did. It never did. A lot of the things today people are doing, it's never given us the right to do. A lot of things that are being done today. They never said it because morality won't allow you to do it. If you're a moral person, there's a lot that you can't do that our government says you can. But if you're moral, you can't. And so, I'm going to stick with the morals of the Bible. I do a lot better with that. I like that fence around me. I need that fence around me. And you need to understand, because that's the safety. That's a safe place to walk within there. You know, I had some ministry I did years ago. I taught about, you know, boundaries of in your lives of authority and boundaries and judicial, you know, boundaries and things. Because in the spirit realm there is. And Christians get outside of where they're allowed to walk, and they open the door to the devil of their lives. People don't realize you stay within those boundaries. You got to stay within. If you don't stay within those, it's just like in nations. You know, I'm here in America. I may have certain things that I'm allowed to do, but I step into another nation. I need the boundary of this nation. I don't have those rights. Well, it's exactly the same thing spiritually. You go play in the devil's field. He has you. He owns you. You're in his house. You can sit and call on the name of Jesus all you want. He's allowed to have you. You're playing in his house. See, people don't understand. We don't understand this as today, and that's why morality and all that stuff, it keeps you in the guidelines of inside the boundaries that God called you to. And it keeps you in that safety where Satan can't get at you. And that's what you want to do. You want to get, when you live immoral lives, it opens doors to things. It's never good. Hallelujah. Well, let's close that. We'll pick up with some more of that next week. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom in these areas because, Lord God, we all need it. We all need understanding, Lord God, because we do desire to walk in a higher level, in a higher place. And Father, surely if the Apostle Paul said that we look through a glass darkly, and he said also, he said that he hadn't arrived yet. Well, I can surely say I haven't arrived either. And Lord God, Lord, there's many times that I know that I see through a glass darkly. But Lord God, I want to thank you that you are clearing things up for us to understand many things more. Hallelujah. And how to walk and how to live in this life. Lord God, Lord, not just for ourselves, but for the blessing of others. Lord, there has to be a people who can stand in your presence and call on you for the lands we live in and the places we live in. Lord God, that we can call on for your mercy and grace to provide for us. And so we thank you, Father. Father, you're not teaching us these things or showing us these things, Lord God, to harm us. And Lord, we can see that, Lord, there is much deception around us. There are many things, but I want to thank you because you did say that the good work you started in us should bring it to completion. So I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're not afraid nor worried or fearful. Hallelujah. Because you're a good God And you're, Lord God, you're always trying to get a hold of us. You're always trying to reveal things to us. And so we thank you. Lord God, we're not running away from you. We're running to you. Hallelujah. Our desire is to understand and comprehend what you're teaching us, Lord God, because we want to walk in it. We want to live in it. Hallelujah. We want to be a blessing. And so we thank you. Thank you for being so kind and patient with us. Hallelujah. Of teaching us, Lord God, these things. Father, we know some of them we stumbled around, maybe sometimes for a long time, maybe we stumbled around. But Lord God, you haven't quit. You continually, as we come to you, you're always trying to reveal yourself to us and reveal your wisdom to us. And so we want to thank you for it, for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen.